well, thank you for praying tonight. Lord bless you in that. Wonderful to hear your voices across the sanctuary, lifting up praises to the Lord. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 3, and I'll cover 3 and 4 tonight. They are both recounting the journey across, passing over the Jordan River. And beginning in verse number 1, let's see here. Let me read that for you tonight. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 years that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Joshua chapters 3 and 4. And what a compelling story that is. What history there is connected to the Jordan River in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. What a boundary. What music has been written. Let's all go down to the river. Shall we gather at the river? Songs about this river, the things that it has seen and heard. Tonight, may we see and hear the good things of what it means to walk with you, and never boring, always exciting, like someone unfolding their fist one finger at a time. You give detail by detail, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you say, do this, then do that, then do this. Thank you, Father, for your guidance. Thank you for your guidance today in your word. Thank you for your guidance today by means of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Bless now as we spend a moment in Bible study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the River Jordan resonates with biblical history. It resonates almost like when I saw it, I felt like I was looking at a living link to biblical history. I mean, there were times when I stood on stones that I'm pretty sure Jesus walked on, and you look at those stones. There's something about looking at the Jordan River that is very compelling. Something about looking at the Sea of Galilee that was extremely exciting to know the things that had taken place out on that body of water and in this river. Just to start right here tonight, crossing the Jordan River, it's like Operation Promised Land, step number one. Pack your bags, here we go. Elijah, the prophet, with all of the great miracles that he did, striking, taking off his cloak, and striking that river and walking across with Elisha at his side, and the prophet standing there and watching this pair cross the river on dry land. Then Elijah is taken up by a chariot and horses, and Elisha comes back and repeats it, takes Elijah's cloak again, strikes it, it parts again, and Elisha walks by, and the prophet's standing there, seeing the evidence that the mantle of Elijah had passed on to Elisha the prophet, and that the one messenger was gone, but the message would not change. And the power of the Lord would continue. Leprous Naaman, captain of the army of Aram, being told by a little child, go dip in the Jordan River seven times, and watch what the Lord will do, and him going down into that river and making a virtual fool of himself, dipping in this river. And surely every time he dipped and every time he counted, his ego was hurt more and more every time. And then the seventh time, the leprosy was gone. The New Testament opens up with John the Baptist preaching. Where is he preaching? Down by the Jordan River. Where is he baptizing those masses of people? Into this river. Jesus starting his earthly ministry. Where do you find him preaching? Where do you find him being baptized by John the Baptist? In the Jordan. The Jordan River occupies our attention throughout the word of the Lord. And this is quite the turning point that we're finding in Joshua 3 and 4. They took what should have been a two-week journey across from Egypt into the Promised Land. They only turned that two-week journey into a 40-year journey under the disciplining hand of the Lord. And now Joshua is saying, let's all go down to the river and let's camp on the banks of the Jordan. And there they camped for 3 days and could see over into the Promised Land, and must have just chills running up and down their backs as they were about to make this turning point on the trek to the Promised Land. I think I ran off a copy of On Jordan's Stormy Banks. That's another one of those hymns. Let's all go down to the river. And other ones. On Jordan's Stormy Banks, the first verse. On Jordan's Stormy Banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound on the promised. I am bound for the promised land. But there's several verses in that just talk about the chilly waters of Jordan going in to possess this great land. The thing I want you to see out of these two chapters is this. I want you to notice the beginning of the instructions of Joshua, the believing of the instructions of Joshua. They weren't always faithful. On this day, they were doing everything that the Lord asked them to do. You wouldn't always find them in this frame of faith and mind, but they were on this day. The beginning, the believing, and then the becoming. Beginning, I think you'll find that takes up most of chapter 3. Joshua gets up early in the morning, we're told, in verse number 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. They would camp for like 3 days on the banks. One final little camping trip here out in the wilderness before they crossed over into Jericho. And they were told in these 15 verses, the Ark of the Covenant, sacred Ark, is going to be borne on the shoulders of these priests. And they're going to go into the waters of the Jordan. You can make an entire message out of that. The old preachers would make an entire message out of them being willing to go down there and stand in the Jordan River. The soles of their feet are going to get wet. You're going to follow the Ark. Follow these priests. You're not going to get too close. You have to keep like 1,000 yards away from the Ark because of the sacredness of this piece of furniture that came out of the tabernacle. And today, as I stand before you, there is this metaphoric, follow the Word, follow the Holy Spirit, follow the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ, follow the Father, Son, and Spirit. As we make our journey, we're following. I'm bearing this on my metaphorical shoulders. It's a weight that comes with this desk. It's a weight that comes with the journey. It's part of the tasking. There are times when my wife and I scratch our heads and go, why in the world were you ever called into the ministry? That's probably the worst, the dumbest thing you've ever done. It comes with a weight, and you get your feet wet in this thing, but we continue to follow along as we go through 5 books into our 6th book. I've probably gone through 12, a dozen books with you in my 10 years here, but we continue to follow the Word of the Lord, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And they said they are told, go in till the soles of your feet are wet, and then stand, and then watch what happens as the Lord is going to do some wonderful things. And what would happen? The waters would be heaped. They would begin to pile up on one side, stack on one side, and diminish on the other side as they entered into the promised land. This would, of course, accomplish 2 things. Number 1, it's going to allow the nation to cross safely. It's going to expose the riverbed. And they're going to see the river dry as you never see it. And they would cross through on that river. You say, what's the second thing it's going to do? It's going to establish Joshua and really authenticate that he is the person that God has chosen and ordained and blessed to be the replacement for Moses. For messengers change. I would never say preachers are a dime a dozen, because that would be an insult to the role of being a preacher. Although there are people in the church that think preachers are a dime a dozen, and treat them thus, they're not a dime a dozen. But what it does say is that a messenger will have his season, and a messenger will pass from the scene as Moses did. But messengers will change occasionally, but the message will never change. That's what it does. It does teach us. It doesn't teach us that this leadership is disposable, because I'm convinced that the greatest need of the church in the 21st century is godly leadership. That it would be something that if you have it, you should covet it and you should pray for it and bless it as much as you can. But Joshua is going to be confirmed. This whole thing, he's saying camp by the river. This whole thing, he's telling the priest, take this up on your shoulder. This whole thing, he's saying get your feet wet. This whole thing, he's saying stand still. This is what's going to happen. This whole thing, the water's going to stack on one side, pile high. The water's going to drain down to the Dead Sea on the other side. And the whole riverbank, the riverbed is going to be exposed so that the children of Israel can cross through on dry ground. The beginning, he also says again, he repeats the promise and the covenant to them. I'm going to give you success in military. Every tribe, you know, the Girgashites and the Hittites, Amorites, all of these, they are going to be defeated soundly by the Lord. You do not have to fear, although I'm dragging you out into deep water and I'm dragging you out into uncertain territory, and it seems a little bit crazy even what I'm asking you to do. Believe me, you're safe. And the message to us would be, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Where would I be without you? What would life be without you? I can't imagine life without the Lord. The best thing that you can do, it is blessed to be a Christian. There is huge collateral value to being in the hands of the Lord. And so success in every battle is promise. Now, God has done miracles. How those two spies got across, we don't know. Flood stage. I'm telling you, I don't want to jump into the Mississippi River when it's at flood stage. I don't want to jump into Bull Creek when it's at flood stage. There's someone that tried to save his dog earlier this spring. His dog tumbled into Bull Creek, and this 65, 70-year-old guy says, I'm going to save that dog. Both of their lives were lost. How those two spies got across that river at flood stage, I don't know. It's a miracle. God is doing miracles at the Jordan River. Those two spies went across into Jericho. Those two spies came back across into the wilderness to give their report. I'm not told that any waters parted for them. It was a miracle that they made it. God unfolds his plan. You'll notice it. It's just like God's fist is folded. And he'll say, step one, I want you to do this. Step two, I want you to do this. Step three. He say, I want to know all 10 at the same time. God unfolds his plan one step at a time in this guidebook that he's given them. Do this, and then do that, and then do this, and then do that. You're not supposed to do number five until you've done 1, 2, 3, and 4. And say, I get so impatient with the Lord, it is driving me crazy. God is going to guide step by step by step. And following him is anything but boring. People say, walking with the Lord, can't imagine it, don't want to do it. Walking with the Lord is the thrill of a lifetime. To have God at your side, his hand on your shoulder, his spirit in your heart, is a blessing beyond anything that this world has to offer. That's the beginning. Next, I want us to see not just the beginning, but the believing in verse 16 of chapter 3. The waters which came down from above, lo and behold, they stood. They rose up very far, heap piling up from the city of Adam. We don't even know where that is. It's this unknown location, but they piled up and piled. I can't imagine how high they must have piled up. They choose these cities from a great distance away to say they've stopped that far away. And it must have been a sight to behold just to stand and watch that water kind of keep moving and just kind of keep getting higher and higher and higher and higher, like some skyscraper up above you. The waters just began to pile up and to heap up higher and higher. And those that bore, verse 17, the priest that bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm and on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. And all the Israelites, this is the believing part, passed over on dry ground until all the people passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed, in verse 1 of chapter 4, over the Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take these 12 men and choose a stone. The believing part, the priests entered the water with the ark balanced on their shoulder. You talk about precarious. Have you ever walked across, the edge of a creek or the edge of a river? Usually it's very unstable, it's very uncertain, it's very precarious at best to walk along these shores. But here they go with, of all things, the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. You talk about a precious cargo. Into the water they go. This is faith in action. This is them believing. This is them saying, okay, I'm in. This is them moving as they are directed by the Lord. The power of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, the patience of God, the glory of God, on full display. You think it's on full display at Bethlehem? Absolutely, the glory of God is on display. But the glory of God is on display. Just the things that are going on around them physically is just incredible to think about. Joshua is affirmed as their new leader. The river is opened to walk across. Jordan's waters heap up high on one side and start to drain on the other side. Someone said, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. God made a road and a path where there was no path. And God opened it up before their very eyes. This is a significant act of faith for the priest, significant act of faith for the people. The generation that crossed the Red Sea had, by and large, deceased. Anyone under the age of 20 is the only ones that survived that 40 years. And now they're walking across the Jordan River at flood stage. It is out of its banks. And it is watering and turning that into a fertile valley. They had failed so many tests in that 40 years. But on this day, they showed tremendous believing, robust, spirit-filled faith. They believed, they obeyed, and they entered the promised land. People say, God is a killjoy. God's no fun. God doesn't want what's best for me. God doesn't know what he's doing. I know better than God knows. He does not know what's best for me. Following the Lord, believing the Lord, obeying the Lord, walking with the Lord, step by step, one step at a time, is the not just best life, it is the blessed life. They are entering into the promised land and into the blessings of God. God asked them to do things. Say, it doesn't make any sense. God asked them to do things. I don't think you know what you're talking about. God asked them to do things. I think you've got it wrong, second-guessing God all the time. Have you ever second-guessed God? I second-guess him a lot. I guess I just think, Lord, if I were doing this, I would do this differently than you're doing this. But the Lord does know what he's doing. And we need to be patient and faithful to him in the process. We are told the just shall not walk by sight, but the just shall walk by faith. And you're seeing what it means to walk by faith in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. After believing is becoming, and that's the balance of chapter 4, which I did not read. But he says, I want you to take 12 men in verse 2 out of the people. And I want you to say, go into the Jordan River and choose all 12 of you. Pick a stone, hefty stone, a significant a stone of significance, 12 stones. Carry them across the river with you and leave them in the lodging place. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom in verse 4, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take up a stone on your shoulder, and you're going to stack these stones to make an altar slash memorial, a remembrance, a place of remembrance for this crossing. We're told the children are going to ask, What are these stones, and what's the significance of these stones? As I delivered a message to you on Sunday morning about multi-generational worship and about integrated worship, what you find in Scripture is children see things they don't understand. Children go to mom and dad and they say, I don't understand what this means. Can you tell me what this means? And the best teachers of all are the parents, and the adults in the room say, this is what this means. God opened the Jordan River, and we were able to cross over safely when we entered into the promised land on the threshold of the city of Jericho. And so faith is passed from, I don't make this up, from one generation to the next. May the baton be passed safely from this generation to that generation. We're going to be worshiping in heaven multi-generationally. We're going to be, worshiping in heaven all together. Me, parents, greats, 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 on down the line. Don't know how many I have. Marilyn can trace her faith family tree back into the 1600s. I mean, she just comes from a deep and I come from a very shallow spiritual DNA pool. She comes from a very deep one. And I will be surprised, I'm sure, as to who is there. And I make no pretense to know who is there and who isn't there. But we will be worshiping with family who know Christ when we arrive in heaven. And so in heaven, so on earth, children come, they ask the question, I don't know what this is all about. The parents say, this is what this is all about. Passing that faith successfully from one generation to the next. And so the priests shoulder the ark, they step out of the Jordan, they wait. They don't, do this like we did in Afghanistan, get all the soldiers out first and then try to get the people out, and you got people hanging all over planes. No, the priests are the first one in with this ark on their shoulder. The priests are the last ones out with the ark on their shoulder. Everybody passes over safely. Then you get the priests out. They come out safely with the ark of the covenant on their shoulder, this sacred piece, and the floodwaters restore. It goes right back before their very eyes. It goes back to that flood stage, and they must have thought, wowzers, that is an incredible sight for sure. What a sight to behold. Walking with the Lord. Every day, this takeaway from Joshua 3 and 4, every day is a new experience. Every day is going to require you to have fresh mercy, fresh faith, fresh time with the Lord, fresh time of prayer. Every day is probably going to field with some uncertainty. Life is complicated. Phone calls on my phone, it blows up every day. Texts that come through on the phone, it's incredible, the conversations. And I've got conversations to have after this service is over tonight. Every day is a new experience. Every day, there are uncertainties. Every day there are conversations. You had no idea you were going to have these conversations the day before. And there's a call for wisdom. But every day, God goes with us. Joshua 3 and 4 says, the Lord says, I'm not sending you into this river by yourself. I'm not sending you into the promised land by yourself. I'm not sending you in front of all these enemies by yourself. I'm going with you, and I will go with you step by step. Change. You say, I don't like change. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Did someone say change? We don't know how many Baptists it takes. We've never answered that question. We don't like the word change. Change is expected. Change is part of life. You have Moses one day, you have Joshua the next day. Is it good? All good. None of us are irreplaceable. None of us are, non-negotiable. I would never assume to be something that I'm not. I'm just a messenger here for as long as the Lord wants me to be here. But it would go from Moses over to Joshua. Messengers change, but the message never change. The message never changes. Children ask parents. Parents are the best to answer. Stones are stacked so that all the children of Israel can see. Stones are stacked so that the world can see. And that children will be saying, what are these stones about? Ask mom and dad. But there would be strangers outside of the faith that says, what am I looking at here when I look at these stones as a witness to the lost world? And so you've got even an aspect of this memorial stones being something not only to build up the redeemed in their faith. I think it would cause questions to be asked by a watching world. Say, I don't understand what it is that you're doing here. And for you to be given the opportunity to say, this is what that means. And God has done great things in our midst for us. Come join us. I mean, that would be the response of looking at those stones. Why don't you come join us? We walk with this God. Why don't you come walk with this God with me? Wouldn't that be a blessed thing to take place? And that's how we pray for our Sunday services. Let's ask the Lord to bless now. Lord, on Jordan's stormy banks, we stand, cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where our possessions lie. We are bound for the promised land. Pray that you would bless now, as we turn our attention to our closing song tonight, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you would, if there's someone here tonight who is not converted, that they would come to faith in Christ. Someone here tonight says, I need prayer. Life's not making any sense. I'm nonplussed tonight. If someone needs prayer, that they would come. If someone here needs a church home, Lord, that they would come with that in mind as well. Now help us, Lord, as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.